and welcome to Beyond Markets by Julius Baer, a series featuring conversations with experts to share recent market developments, key insights, and strategic inputs from around the globe.
Hello, and welcome to today's podcast. I'm Perlin from the Investment Content and Campaigns team in Asia. Today's episode is all about oil and what we think about it in light of recent events. Our oil expert, Norbert Rucker, who is the head of economics and next generation research, has joined us all the way from Zurich to share his expert views on this. Hi, Norbert. It's very nice to have you with us today.
Hello, everyone. It's my pleasure to be here today.
So, Norbert, geopolitics are in focus again, with tensions rising in the Middle East. Followers of oil markets know that geopolitics in the Middle Eastern region can supercharge oil prices. This is because oil supply is concentrated in a few countries, and any potential production cuts or supply disruption is quickly reflected in oil prices through a higher risk premium. This time around, however, the oil market has been surprisingly calm. Oil prices traded higher to around US$90 a barrel, but have since fallen to the mid-80s level. Why do you think oil markets are not reacting? And where do you see oil prices going in the near term?
We believe that the situation is somewhat similar to the one last autumn, because remember, also back then, we had this spike in oil prices towards 95 even, and then basically decline afterwards. For us, it's similar because we also had geopolitics, the Gaza war that broke out at the time. But also back then, like today, oil went up for different reasons. Earlier this year, it was kind of the incremental strength of the economy, for example, that has been the bullish narrative over the last weeks. It obviously was all about geopolitics. But if you look back on the market, such kind of episodes where you have geopolitics temporarily influencing prices is something quite common. And usually geopolitics only embeds really kind of a noise element. It creates a bit of uncertainty. It brings a risk premium to oil prices that pushes up oil prices for some weeks, and afterwards they go down, they fall again. So we believe that this time this pattern is exactly this one, that it's very similar. The thing is, even though we look at this potential for tensions in this specific region, the Middle East, and there's this constant risk of an escalation, the reality is that the oil market tends to lose its interest in geopolitics relatively quickly, no longer cares about it, and the influence thus is really a very short one.
Norbert, you've mentioned a few times that geopolitics tends to be temporary noise. Why do you say that? And how can we know when the reversal finally happens?
Well, if you look at this episode now, despite all this hot-headedness that we had or still have in geopolitics, but also in the media attention around it, the actors remain somewhat rational. Both of these attacks were well flagged. They came not out of nowhere. They were conducted in a way to minimize the harm, so to speak. So that's not what we say. That's what some of the more seasoned geopolitical commentators out there really point out. So the big picture is full-blown escalation really is in no one's interest in the area, given the economic harm it would bring, but also how it would unsettle, basically, the political balances that we have there. But another element that we're looking at is that some indicators is the market mood, because when we talk about geopolitics creating noise, it's really in most cases only affecting the market mood in the oil market. On only very few cases, we saw geopolitics also turning to something that impacted the market fundamentally. So if you look at the market mood, and basically it's a futures market where the oil is traded, you have information on, well, who is holding these contracts, who is betting on higher prices, who is betting on lower prices. And currently we see a clear pattern that there's lots of bullishness. These indicators basically say that hedge funds and their likes are very much crowded on the long side, betting on higher prices. And usually such kind of levels always coincided with a reversal and thus lower prices over the coming and following weeks.
Could you then explain our cautious view on oil prices and elaborate on our targets?
Yeah, sure. So it's these two things. First, it's what we just talked about before, the market mood, which is very bullish, that can't last, that should reverse, puts pressure on prices. But our main argument why we believe that oil prices at current levels are slightly too high from our perspective is really the fundamental trends. So if you look purely at supply and demand, there has been this narrative that supplies should tighten early this year, exactly the narrative that pushed prices from the 70s into the 80s. If you look back so far this year, storage situation, so how much oil there is in inventories, it's being stored in North America, Europe, or China, we don't really see that these storage levels are depleting. If at all, it's either the opposite, that incrementally we see higher supplies, which brings us to the big picture. Yes, there's demand growth, but it's more or less stagnating in the Western world. Also in China, there's no longer this strong demand growth that we had last year. Demand now more comes from some of the other emerging markets. And the key point is, even though in the Middle East, under the lead of Saudi Arabia, we're seeing kind of reduced production levels, this has all been compensated by someone else, especially out of the Americas. It has been compensated by increasing production in the United States. It has been particularly compensated by strong production out of Brazil and out of a new joiner, a small country called Guyana, which is kind of becoming a major force on the global oil market. So with these trends more or less in balance, we just don't see that oil can remain at the current levels. And that's why we have a cautious view. That's why we see oil trading into the 80s by mid-year and into the high 70s by end of this year.
Would you have any updates on the longer term next generation trends that affect oil markets? For example, on the energy transition theme and the clean energy theme.
Sure. So if we zoom out a bit, we'll really subscribe to the view that the oil market has kind of entered a new era. So far this decade, early this decade, we had this accumulation of super shocks that happened with the pandemic, with weather events, with geopolitical events, namely the Ukraine war. And we are kind of moving past this shock area, the dust settles. And the big thing for this decade ultimately is the one about peaking oil demand, which exactly has to do with the energy transition and the electrification of road transport. Even though there are some narratives that this is kind of taking slower or shifting down a gear in Europe, if you look at overall the world, there's really a strong electrification trend, especially in China, but also in terms of hybridification. If you're talking about peaking oil demand, this really changes the oil market because the entire growth narrative disappears. This changes the behavior of the oil and gas business because they no longer have to venture into the very new frontier areas and do lots of investments, lots of capex. Instead, they rather can stick with what they know. They can do the maintenance. They can build on the known assets, which all requires much less capital. So overall, such a market environment is really a Goldilocks environment for the oil and gas business, because it allows them to contain or keep their costs low, while with the current level of oil prices, this creates just a very great opportunity for high profitability and margins. But there's another aspect, a last one. In such kind of a new market environment, geopolitics will take a role, but maybe somewhat different to the kind of geopolitics that we've seen over the past weeks. It's more about that basically the power shifts, the balances shifts away from the producers, more towards the technology, if we talk about electrification of road transport. And something that we particularly want to point out is that these oil politics that we've seen over the past years with Saudi Arabia curbing oil supplies, in the end, was made redundant. And for us, some of the uncertainty exactly comes from that these current oil politics need to adjust to market realities, and these adjustments most likely will bring some volatility, thus will bring some up and downside to oil prices.
Thank you, Norbert, once again for your timely insights. Dear listeners, that's all the time we have for today. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. On behalf of all of us at Julius Baer, thank you for tuning in and goodbye.
You have been listening to Beyond Markets by Julius Baer. If you like what you've heard, please tell us by leaving a review and rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Subscribe to Beyond Markets on your favorite podcast player to stay up to date with our latest episodes. To learn more about Julius Baer, our people, our latest thinking, visit us at www.juliusbaer.com. We will be back with a brand new episode soon. The information and opinions expressed in this podcast constitute marketing material and are not the result of independent financial or investment research. Please refer to www.juliusbaer.com/legal/podcast for further important legal information.